From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. Adam Pelzer, professor of philosophy at the United States Air Force Academy. And here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that is dedicated to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to your earbuds. Today, I have a very, very special guest. His name is Adam Pelzer. He is a professor of philosophy at the U.S. Air Force Academy. He holds master's degrees in both philosophy and religion, and he earned his PhD in philosophy from Baylor University. He writes and teaches on ethics and moral philosophy, as well as the philosophy of religion and philosophical theology, and he just happens to be my son-in-law. He married one of my daughters, and he is a great example not only of a Christian intellect, but of a father and a husband. Adam has three children, and they are incredible children. I say that not just because they're my grandchildren. I say that because that is reality. Luke, Naomi, and Caleb. Of course, my daughter's name is Katie, and they met at Baylor University many, many years ago. And I am just delighted to have you with me in studio.
Well, thank you, Hank. It's wonderful to be here with you, and thank you for those kind words about me and about our children. We're so delighted to be here with you, spending time together. It's been such a long year with the pandemic, and we've been away from family, and it's been great to visit with you, and so great to be with you in the studio today, and talking about some fun and important topics. And we're so grateful for your leadership of the family, and I'm so grateful that all those many years ago you blessed me when I asked if I could marry your daughter Katie, and I'd say it was the second best decision that I ever made, second only to following Christ, but I don't feel like either one of those was really a decision I made. I think it was made for me. It was an easy one. I would have been foolish to not follow Christ, and I would have been foolish not to marry Katie. So,
well, I know she feels the exact same way, and truly you are a great example of how a Christian family is to function. I wonder what it's like to be a Christian scholar at a secular military academy.
Well, let me tell you, I did not ever see myself teaching in a military academy. I hadn't grown up around the military. I had a grandfather who was in the Air Force. He was a navigator, actually, and was a prisoner of war for a time in Korea. But I didn't grow up in a military family and around military bases, and so I was actually kind of surprised when they hired me. They were looking for somebody to teach ethics, and I guess I fit the bill, and they're very interested in character formation at the Air Force Academy and in the military across the globe. And that's one of the reasons why I think they were interested in me, and one of the things that I've found really valuable about teaching there is that they're an institution that doesn't always get it right when it comes to character formation, but they really do care deeply about moral character formation and virtue formation. And that's something that's becoming, even though a lot of universities continue to talk about character formation, it's something that has become sort of a soft spot in a lot of places, because talking about morality, talking about the virtues, gets a lot of people upset these days. And so I'm lucky to be at a place where they do really want to think hard about what it means to form human beings, to form their character, to form their virtue. And so to get to teach ethics at a place like that is a great responsibility and a great privilege. And I'm privileged to have a bunch of great colleagues who support my work and support my research. In fact, I was just informed just the other day that I've been promoted to the rank of professor. So a full professor now at the Air Force Academy. And that's a really wonderful accomplishment, and I'm really honored and humbled by it, and I hope to continue to be able to be a good resource for my cadets. That's what we call our students there. And it really is a great responsibility as a Christian scholar to be careful to not abuse my authority. I'm fortunate to be at a place where I get to teach about Christianity, and I get to teach, in fact, in the fall, I'll be teaching a course called Philosophy and Christian Thought. And this last spring, I taught a course on C.S. Lewis and philosophy. So I get to teach topics that are certainly of interest to me as a Christian scholar, but I need to be careful not to abuse my authority and try to use my position of authority to put pressure on any of my cadets who might not be Christians to become Christians or to feel compelled to buy into Christianity simply because I'm a Christian. And so I teach philosophy in a way that's even-handed, and I give them arguments for all sides of views and help them to think critically for themselves. And even what I say on air with you today is important for me to offer a disclaimer and say I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the Academy. I'm not speaking for the U.S. government or the Department of Defense, but I'm speaking, these are my views. And I'm fortunate to be in a place that allows me to have the academic freedom to speak freely about my views, because that's becoming a less and less common across universities in our country these days.
You're a professor of philosophy. I want to just try to penetrate this concept that a lot of people have, maybe a false trichotomy between philosophy and theology and science. Peter Paul Rubens personified theology as the queen of the sciences, and he did that in a painting called The Triumph of the Eucharist. And his point was that theology is never absent philosophy and science. However, philosophy and science absent divine revelation leads inexorably to the blind ditch of ignorance.
Yeah, that's a wonderful quote. Yeah, I think that the relationship between philosophy and theology is a fascinating one. The medieval philosopher theologians used to call philosophy the handmaiden of theology. Philosophy existed to serve theology and to help us to understand theology better, to do theology better. In a way, philosophy is, it's a set of practices and also a set of questions. We deal with what some have called the ultimate questions of reality. What really exists? What does it mean to be a good person? Who's really well off in the world? How do we know things? I mean, these are some of the central questions of human life, and these are the central questions of philosophy. And that quote is correct, that philosophy can be done without being informed by theology. And as a Christian believer, I think that that leaves your philosophy attenuated. It leaves it thin, and you're missing out on what is ultimate and real, the truth about reality. But when you allow theology to inform your philosophy, which I think a Christian philosopher can and should do, you can explore theology in an even more rich way with using the tools of philosophy, using the practice of dialectic, a sort of back and forth giving of arguments and considering objections to those arguments, and using the tools of critical thinking and of logic to help us to understand theology. And when you can do that in a cooperative way, it leads to a really rich study of theology. In fact, a lot of my friends in philosophy who are Christians, we all feel like sort of frustrated theologians. We really wanted to be theologians, but thought in order to do that well, we should study some philosophy. And some of us ended up finding ourselves teaching in philosophy departments, and I think that's where I find myself today.
Talk about emotions and the role of properly ordered emotions in the life of a Christian.
Oh, this is one of my favorite subjects to talk about in philosophy. I did my dissertation at Baylor University on the philosophy of emotions. I think the emotions are such an important part of human life, and they're such a poorly understood part of human life. We live in a culture that believes in a view that I've called in a couple of places the guillotine view of rationality. The guillotine was obviously this instrument of torture and death, all right, that would cut off one's head. The guillotine view of rationality says that in order to be really rational, we've got to cut off our heads from our hearts. We've got to check our emotions at the door. Emotions only get in the way of rational thinking. And I think this is such a flawed and dangerous view of rationality, because God did not create us to be heads on sticks, as another philosopher, James Smith, has called it. God created us to be whole human beings, mind and heart united. And when we try to separate our heads from our hearts, we're left with only two equally bad options. One is to just be a full sentimentalist and say, well, follow your heart wherever it leads you. But as we see throughout Scripture, this leads to all kinds of trouble because our hearts are sinful and many of our desires are sinful. And if we just follow our hearts wherever our hearts lead, this can lead to death. On the other hand, we have folks who say, no, focus only on your mind, right? Separate your mind from your heart, check your emotions at the door, and be a purely rational person. But those people end up with a kind of knowledge that is really attenuated knowledge of God and of the good and the true and the beautiful, because emotions are our primary way, I think, of experiencing the objective value in the world. Things like beauty and goodness and evil, justice and injustice. We experience these values through emotions. And so if you try to check your emotions at the door, your knowledge of morality, your spiritual knowledge is going to be very thin and attenuated. So cutting your head off from your heart only leads to death.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Adam Pelzer. Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more, is made possible because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the financially critical month of June. To make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
We are divided. Both the left and the right are calling for revolution. But what kind of revolution brings freedom to society and the soul? Oz Guinness explores the nature of revolutionary faith, contrasting secular revolutions such as the French Revolution with the faith-led revolution of ancient Israel. Guinness argues that the story of Exodus displays the highest, richest, and deepest vision for freedom in human history, and the greatest sustained critique of the abuse of power. The Exodus account charts a viable path to justice, peace, stability, and the common good of the community. To receive your copy of The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith in the Future of Freedom by Oz Guinness, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
It's only by the grace of God through the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily in a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with the Christian Research Institute during the financially critical month of June to end this fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Let's now rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Adam Pelzer, in their conversation.
Many of our desires are sinful, and if we just follow our hearts wherever our hearts lead, this can lead to death. On the other hand, we have folks who say, no, focus only on your mind, right? Separate your mind from your heart, check your emotions at the door, and be a purely rational person. But those people end up with a kind of knowledge that is really attenuated knowledge of God and of the good and the true and the beautiful, because emotions are our primary way, I think, of experiencing the objective value in the world. Things like beauty and goodness and evil, justice and injustice. We experience these values through emotions. And so if you try to check your emotions at the door, your knowledge of morality, your spiritual knowledge is going to be very thin and attenuated. So cutting your head off from your heart only leads to death, no matter which way you slice it. Excuse the pun. What we need to do is reunite our heads with our hearts. And as Jesus says in his great commandment, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And it's not until we can love the Lord our God with our heart and our mind together that we can really step into the flourishing life that is available to us in Christ. So I think a lot about the emotions, and I think, our emotions do sometimes get us into trouble, and that's why we need to fix them. As C.S. Lewis said, the right defense against false sentiments or emotions that get things wrong is to inculcate just sentiments. He said, for famished nature will be avenged, and a hard heart is no infallible protection against a soft head. If we recognize that our emotions are getting things wrong, we're getting angry at things that we shouldn't get angry at, we fear things that we shouldn't fear, the right answer is not just to throw out the emotions altogether, but rather to engage in a process of virtue formation, forming the virtues of the soul, so that our emotions can start to actually see the objective value in the world correctly, to see it rightly. That's what he called cultivating just sentiments. That's C.S. Lewis from The Abolition of Man, where he writes a lot about the relationship between emotion and reason, and says that what we really need is rational emotions, not either emotion or reason, but rather bring them together. That's the way God intended us to be, and that's what it is to be a fully rational person, is to have your head and your heart unified in that virtue and character formation.
Help me to understand an experience I had this morning. I woke up early. This is the second year anniversary of going to the hospital, having my immune system completely destroyed, having my blood system destroyed so that I could have the blood of another person, so that my son's stem cells would be engrafted into my bone marrow. And that was quite a trying experience. And I was thinking about this early this morning, and as I was thinking about it, a song kept going through my head. And that song was a song about the worth of the Lamb. It's called Worthy is the Lamb. And that phrase kept going through my head, Worthy is the Lamb. And in that song, you get this picture of the archangels and the saints carrying their crowns in their hands. And in that great assize, bowing down before Jesus and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." And I was thinking to myself, Adam, that I can explain to people things like the ineffability of God or God becoming knowable in incarnation. I can talk about the attributes of God. But there was a knowing of God, an experience of God that was emotional and that married, I think, what you were talking about, the rational part of my being, the emotional part of my being, in some sense flooding the entirety of my being.
That's beautiful, Hank. Before I even speak to that experience, I just have to say how grateful we are as a family that we get to still spend this time with you, because I was struck by that when we first arrived for our visit just a few days ago, and within 5 minutes, you had my son Luke out on the golf course with you, and I thought, this is just incredible that we are getting to spend this time with you when just 2 years ago you were going through that very tough battle with cancer. And so we're so grateful to be able to have more time with you. And I think this experience that you had this morning of being reminded of God's presence with you during that trial, during that ordeal that you went through, you know, music is profoundly connected to our emotions. And I think the music, what it does for you is it helps to elicit certain emotions in response to God. This is what I think really great worship music will do, is that great worship music helps us to experience God and to praise God, and the music gets out of the way, right? It directs our emotions toward God Himself, toward the risen Lamb, Jesus. And all too often, I think, you know, this sort of performance culture in contemporary worship distracts us from God. You know, it draws the attention and the focus to the worship leaders or to the music itself, rather than allowing the music to direct us toward God. And the fact is that there are some emotions that actually are appropriate to have toward God, and we can design our worship in ways that help us to have those appropriate emotions. The emotions that you're explaining might have been emotions like awe or a kind of reverence, mm-hmm. or a kind of feeling of your own smallness in God's presence, and yet also the greatness of God's love for you, right? These are all emotional experiences that we can know about by reading them on the page, right? It's one thing to sort of know the truth that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whoever believed in him might live and have eternal life, right? It's one thing to know that propositionally, but it's another thing to experience that, right? It's another thing to actually feel the truth of that. I know that for me, the profundity of that theological truth didn't really hit me until I was a father, until Luke was born, until I had a son of my own, and I knew what it might feel like to sacrifice my son for someone else that I loved. And I couldn't imagine what kind of love that would take for me, because that would have been such a painful experience to go through. And to know that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us is such a profound truth that it can only be grasped fully when you grasp it with your heart, when you see the truth through what I like to call the eyes of the heart, the emotions, using a phrase from Paul, when Paul says in Ephesians 1:18 that he wanted the Christian believers in Ephesus to have the eyes of their hearts opened so that they might know the hope to which they'd been called. Emotions have this sort of perceptual capacity to them. They allow us to experience, to recognize, to see the value, the beauty of God, the majesty of God. They help us to see other values, like moral values, as I was explaining before. And I want to read to you a quote here from Jonathan Edwards from his great book, Religious Affections, where he says this. He says, "He that has doctrinal knowledge and speculation only, without affection, never is engaged in the business of religion." He says, "I am bold to assert that there never was any considerable change wrought in the mind or conversation of any person by anything of a religious nature that he ever read, heard, or saw that had not his affections moved. What Edwards is saying here is that to really be engaged in the business of true religion, of true Christianity, of true Christian life, is to be engaged with the affections. It's not just to know the truth that God sent his son to be the savior of the world, but it's to experience it with all of one's heart. It's to understand the gravity of that truth in one's heart. It's to understand the gravity of God's love for humanity and the great lengths that God went to in order to reconcile us sinners to himself. These are great truths that can't just be known in some purely propositional way where you can answer the right question on the test. That's not what it is to know that truth. To know that truth, one must engage with it, see it, know it, feel it in one's heart. And I think that's what the music helps you to do when you experience God's presence through music, as you were describing.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Adam Pelzer, Professor of Philosophy at the United States Air Force Academy. More than half of Christian Research Institute donors make only one gift each year to CRI. If each of those donors made only one more gift to CRI this month, it would mean additional hundreds of thousands of dollars to equip those who look to us daily for help. An absolute game changer. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during this key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners just like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.